Hello, this is Adrian Hendricks.
And Jerry Hendricks with Save One More Now, Incorporated, where our focus is to lovingly confront all activities dishonoring human life created in the image of God. There is no greater dishonor to God in human life than to reject His eternal salvation only available through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us.
Today we are honored to present the Word of God. We pray that this message will minister to each of you as you allow the Holy Spirit to do in your hearts what only He can do. We have this assurance at Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from the sky, and doesn't return there, but waters the earth, and makes it grow and bud, and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing I sent it to do.
Last week we heard how a Jewish orphan named Hadassah became Queen Esther of the Empire of King Xerxes, which according to a summary at gotquestions.org was enormous. In fact, it was the largest the world had ever seen. Persia covered the area now known as Turkey, as well as Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Jordan, Lebanon, and Israel. It also encompassed sections of modern-day Egypt, Sudan, Libya, and Saudi Arabia. Both Mordecai and Esther honored the king and wanted to protect him from his enemies. The king appointed an evil man over his affairs. His name was Haman, and he despised the Israelite people. Haman was an Agagite and the son of Hammedatha. Haman was likely a descendant of Agag, king of the Amalekites, longtime enemies of the Jewish people at Exodus 17, verses 14 through 16. God had told King Saul to destroy the Amalekites centuries earlier at 1 Samuel 15, verse 3, but Saul failed to obey the command. His disobedience led to the loss of his kingdom and, in Esther's time, the threat of annihilation for all Jews. If you do not know the story of Esther, you will not want to miss this thrilling conclusion. If you do know, listen again just for the enjoyment of it and don't give the ending away.
From this point, you will hear the rest of this riveting story from the combined canonical text and apocryphal insights from the Book of Esther.
Now, without further ado, we present part 2 of the Book of Esther.
Chapter 5. It came to pass on the third day, when she had ceased praying, that she took off her servant's dress and put on her glorious apparel, being splendidly dressed and having called upon God, the overseer and preserver of all things. She took her two maids, and she leaned upon one as a delicate female, and the other followed bearing her train. She was blooming in the perfection of her beauty. Her face was cheerful and looked lovely, but her heart was filled with fear. Having passed through all the doors, she stood before the king. He was sitting on his royal throne. He had put on all his glorious apparel, covered all over with gold and precious stones, and was very terrifying. And having raised his face, resplendent with glory, he looked with intense anger. The queen fell and changed her color as she fainted. She bowed herself upon the head of the maid who went before her. But God changed the spirit of the king to gentleness, and in intense feeling, he sprang from off his throne and took her into his arms until she recovered. He comforted her with peaceful words and said to her, "What is the matter, Esther? I am your relative. Cheer up. You shall not die, for our command is openly declared to you. Draw near." And having raised the golden scepter, he laid it upon her neck and embraced her. He said, "Speak to me." So she said to him, "I saw you, my lord, as an angel of God, and my heart was troubled for fear of your glory. For you, my lord, are to be wondered at, and your face is full of grace." While she was speaking, she fainted and fell. Then the king was troubled, and all his servants comforted her. The king said, "What do you desire, Esther? What is your request? Ask even to half of my kingdom, and it shall be yours." Esther said, "Today is a special day, so if it seems good to the king, let both him and Haman come to the feast, which I will prepare this day."
The king said, "Hurry and bring Haman here, that we may do as Esther said." So they both come to the feast about which Esther had spoken. At the banquet, the king said to Esther, "What is your request, Queen Esther? You shall have all that you require." She said, "My request and my petition are, if I have found favor in the king's sight, let the king and Haman come again tomorrow to the feast, which I shall prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do the same." So Haman went out from the king very glad and merry. But when Haman saw Mordecai the Jew in the court, he was greatly enraged. Having gone into his own house, he called his friends and his wife Zeresh. He showed them his wealth and the glory with which the king had invested him, and how he had promoted him to be chief ruler in the kingdom. Haman said, "The queen has called no one to the feast with the king but me, and I am invited tomorrow. But these things don't please me while I see Mordecai the Jew in the court." Then Zeresh his wife and his friends said to him, "Let a 50-cubit tall gallows be made for you. In the morning you speak to the king, and let Mordecai be hanged on the gallows. But you go into the feast with the king and be merry." The saying pleased Haman, and the gallows was prepared.
Chapter 6. The Lord removed sleep from the king that night, so he told his servant to bring in the books, the registers of daily events, to read to him. And he found the records written concerning Mordecai, how he had told the king about the king's two chamberlains when they were keeping guard and sought to lay hands on Xerxes. The king said, "What honor or favor have we done for Mordecai?" The king's servant said, "You haven't done anything for him." And while the king was inquiring about the kindness of Mordecai, behold, Haman was in the court. The king said, "Who is in the court?" Now Haman had come in to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows which he had prepared. The king's servant said, "Behold, Haman stands in the court." And the king said, "Call him." The king said to Haman, "What should I do for the man whom I wish to honor?" Haman said within himself, "Whom would the king honor but myself?" He said to the king, "As for the man whom the king wishes to honor, let the king's servants bring the robe of fine linen which the king puts on and the horse on which the king rides, and let him give it to one of the king's noble friends, and let him dress the man whom the king loves. Let him mount him on the horse and proclaim through the streets of the city, saying, 'This is what will be done for every man whom the king honors.'"
Then the king said to Haman, "You have spoken well. Do so for Mordecai the Jew, who waits in the palace, and let not a word of what you have spoken be neglected." So Haman took the robe and the horse, dressed Mordecai, mounted him on the horse, and went through the streets of the city and proclaimed, saying, "This is what will be done for every man whom the king wishes to honor." Then Mordecai returned to the palace, but Haman went home mourning and having his head covered. Haman related the events that had happened to him to Zeresh, his wife, and to his friends. His friends and his wife said to him, "If Mordecai is of the race of the Jews, and you have begun to be humbled before him, you will assuredly fall, and you will not be able to withstand him, for the living God is with him." While they were still speaking, the chamberlains arrived to rush Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared.
Chapter 7. So the king and Haman went in to drink with the queen. The king said to Esther at the banquet on the second day, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? What is your petition? It shall be done for you up to half of my kingdom." She answered and said, "If I have found favor in the sight of the king, let my life be granted as my petition and my people as my request. For both I and my people are sold for destruction, pillage, and genocide. If both we and our children were sold for male and female slaves, I would not have bothered you, for this isn't worthy of the king's palace." The king said, "Who has dared to do this thing?" Esther said, "The enemy is Haman, this wicked man." Then Haman was troubled before the king and the queen. The king rose up from the banquet to go into the garden. Haman began to beg the queen for mercy, for he saw that he was in trouble. The king returned from the garden, and Haman had fallen upon the bed, begging the queen for mercy. The king said, "Will you even assault my wife in my house?" And when Haman heard it, he changed countenance. And Bugathon, one of the chamberlains, said to the king, "Behold, Haman has also prepared a gallows for Mordecai, who spoke concerning the king. And a 50-cubit high gallows has been set up on Haman's property." The king said, "Let him be hanged on it." So Haman was hanged on the gallows that had been prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was appeased.
Chapter 8. On that day, King Xerxes gave to Esther all that belonged to Haman, the slanderer. The king called Mordecai, for Esther had shown that he was related to her. The king took the ring which he had taken away from Haman and gave it to Mordecai. Esther appointed Mordecai over all that had been Haman's. She spoke yet again to the king and fell at his feet and implored him to undo Haman's mischief and all that he had done against the Jews. Then the king extended the golden scepter to Esther, and Esther arose to stand near the king. Esther said, "If it seems good to you, and I have found favor in your sight, let an order be sent that the letter sent by Haman may be reversed, that were written for the destruction of the Jews who are in your kingdom. For how could I see affliction of my people, and how could I survive the destruction of my kindred?"
Then the king said to Esther, "If I have given and freely granted you all that was Haman's and hanged him on a gallows because he laid his hands upon the Jews, what more do you seek? Write in my name whatever seems good to you and seal it with my ring, for whatever is written at the command of the king and sealed with my ring cannot be countermanded." So the scribes were called in the first month, which is Nisan, on the 23rd day of the same year, and orders were written to the Jews, whatever the king had commanded to the local governors and chiefs of the local governors, from India even to Ethiopia, 127 local governors, according to the several provinces in their own languages. They were written by order of the king, sealed with his ring, and the letters were sent by the couriers. In them, he charged them to use their own laws in every city to help each other and to treat their adversaries and those who attacked them as they pleased on one day in all the kingdom of Xerxes, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is Adar. Let the copies be posted in conspicuous places throughout the kingdom. Let all the Jews be ready against this day to fight against their enemies. The following is a copy of the letter containing orders.
The great King Xerxes sends greetings to the rulers of provinces and 127 local governance regions, from India to Ethiopia, even to those who are faithful to our interests, many who have been frequently honored by the most abundant kindness of their benefactors, have conceived ambitious designs, and not only endeavor to hurt our subjects, but moreover, not being able to bear prosperity, they also endeavor to plot against their own benefactors. They not only would utterly abolish gratitude from among men, but also, elated by the boastings of men who are strangers to all that is good, they suppose that they would escape the sin-hating vengeance of the ever-seeing God. And oftentimes, evil exhortation has made partakers of the guilt of shedding innocent blood, and has involved in irremediable calamities many of those who had been appointed to offices of authority, who had been entrusted with the management of their friends' affairs, while men, by the false sophistry of an evil disposition, have deceived the simple candor of the ruling powers. And it is possible to see this not so much from more ancient traditionary account as it is immediately in your power to see it by examining what things have been wickedly perpetrated by the baseness of men unworthily holding power.
It is right to take heed with regard to the future that we may maintain the government in undisturbed peace for all men, adopting needful changes, and ever judging those cases which come under our notice with truly equitable decisions. For whereas Haman, a Macedonian, the son of Hammedatha, in reality an alien from the blood of the Persians, and differing widely from our mild course of government, having been hospitably entertained by us, obtained so large a share of our universal kindness as to be called our father, and to continue the person next to the royal throne, reverenced of all, he, however, overcome by pride, endeavored to deprive us of our dominion and our life, having by various and subtle artifices demanded for destruction both Mordecai, our deliverer and perpetual benefactor, and Esther, the blameless consort of our kingdom, along with their whole nation. For by these methods he thought, having surprised us in a defenseless state, to transfer the dominion of the Persians to the Macedonians. But we find that the Jews, who have been consigned to destruction by the most abominable of men, are not malefactors, but living according to the justest laws, and being the sons of the living God, the Most High and Mighty, who maintains the kingdom to us as well as to our forefathers in the most excellent order. You will therefore do well in refusing to obey the letter sent by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, because he who has done these things has been hanged with his whole family at the gates of Shushan, Almighty God having swiftly returned to him a worthy punishment. We enjoin you then, having openly published a copy of this letter in every place, to give the Jews permission to use their own lawful customs and to strengthen them, that on the 13th of the 12th month Adar, on the selfsame day, they may defend themselves against those who attack them in a time of affliction. For in the place of destruction of the chosen race, Almighty God has granted them this time of gladness.
Therefore you also, among your notable feasts, must keep a distinct day with all festivity, that both now and hereafter it may be a day of deliverance to us who are well disposed toward the Persians, but to those that plotted against us, a memorial of destruction. In every city and province collectively, which shall not do accordingly, shall be consumed with vengeance by spear and fire. It shall be made not only inaccessible to men, but most hateful to wild beasts and birds forever. Let the copies be posted in conspicuous places throughout the kingdom, and let all the Jews be ready against this day to fight against their enemies. So the horsemen went forth with haste to perform the king's commands. The ordinance was also published in Shushan. Mordecai went out robed in royal apparel, wearing a golden crown and a diadem of fine purple linen. The people in Shushan saw it and rejoiced. The Jews had light and gladness in every city and province where the ordinance was published. Wherever the proclamation took place, the Jews had joy and gladness, feasting and mirth. Many of the Gentiles were circumcised and became Jews for fear of the Jews.
Chapter 9. Now in the 12th month, on the 13th day of the month, which is Adar, the letters written by the king arrived. In that day the adversaries of the Jews perished, for no one resisted through fear of them. For the chiefs of the local governors and the princes and the royal scribes honored the Jews, for the fear of Mordecai was upon them. For the order of the king was in force that he should be celebrated in all the kingdom. In the city Shushan, the Jews killed 500 men, including Pharsanes, Delphon, Phasca, Pharadatha, Berea, Sarbaka, Marmasima, Rufius, Arceus, and Zubutheus, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Bugian, the enemy of the Jews, and they plundered their property on the same day. The number of those who perished in Shushan was reported to the king. Then the king said to Esther, "The Jews have slain 500 men in the city Shushan. What do you think they have done in the rest of the country? What more do you ask, that it may be done for you?" Esther said to the king, "Let it be granted to the Jews to do the same to them tomorrow. Also hang the bodies of the 10 sons of Haman." He permitted it to be done, and he gave up to the Jews of the city the bodies of the sons of Haman to hang. The Jews assembled in Shushan on the 14th day of Adar and killed 300 men, but plundered no property. The rest of the Jews who were in the kingdom assembled and helped one another and obtained rest from their enemies, for they destroyed 15,000 of them on the 13th day of Adar, but took no spoil.
They rested on the 14th of the same month and kept it as a day of rest with joy and gladness. The Jews in the city of Shushan assembled also on the 14th day and rested, and they also observed the 15th with joy and gladness. On this account, then, it is that the Jews disperse in every foreign land, keep the 14th of Adar as a holy day with joy, each sending gifts of food to his neighbor. Mordecai wrote these things in a book and sent them to the Jews, as many as were in the kingdom of Xerxes, both those who were near and those who were far away, to establish these as joyful days and to keep the 14th and 15th of Adar. For on these days the Jews obtained rest from their enemies, and in that month, which was Adar, in which a change was made for them from mourning to joy and from sorrow to a good day, to spend the whole of it in good days of feasting and gladness, sending portions to their friends and to the poor. And the Jews consented to this, as Mordecai wrote to them, showing how Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Macedonian, fought against them, how he made a decree and cast lots to destroy them utterly. Also how he went in to the king, telling him to hang Mordecai. But all the calamities he tried to bring upon the Jews came upon himself, and he was hanged along with his children.
Therefore, these days were called Purim because of the lots, for in their language they are called Purim. Because of the words of this letter and because of all they suffered on this account and all that happened to them, Mordecai established it, and the Jews took it upon themselves and upon their seed and upon those that were joined to them to observe it. Neither would they on any account behave differently, but these days were to be a memorial kept in every generation, city, family, and province. These days of the Purim shall be kept forever, and their memorial shall not fail in any generation. Queen Esther, the daughter of Amminadab, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote all that they had done and the confirmation of the letter of Purim. He sent letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Xerxes, with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim in their appointed times as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had decreed, and as they had imposed upon themselves and their descendants in the matter of the fastings and their cry. And Esther established it by a command forever, and it was written for a memorial.
Chapter 10. The king levied a tax upon his kingdom, both by land and sea. As for his strength and valor, and the wealth and glory of his kingdom, behold, there are written in the book of the Persians and the Medes for a memorial. Mordecai was viceroy to King Xerxes and was a great man in the kingdom, honored by the Jews, and lived his life loved by all his nation.
Epilogue. Mordecai said, "These things have come from God, for I remember the dream which I had concerning these matters, for not one detail of them has failed. There was the little spring which became a river, and there was light, and the sun and much water. The river is Esther, whom the king married and made queen. The two serpents are Haman and me. The nations are those nations who combine to destroy the name of the Jews. But as for my nation, this is Israel, even those who cried to God and were delivered. For the Lord delivered his people. The Lord rescued us out of all these calamities, and God worked such signs and great wonders as have not been done among the nations. Therefore he ordained two lots, one for the people of God and one for all the other nations. And these two lots came for an appointed season and for a day of judgment before God and for all the nations. God remembered his people and vindicated his inheritance. They shall observe these days in the month Adar on the 14th and on the 15th day of the month with an assembly, joy, and gladness before God throughout the generations forever among his people Israel. In the fourth year of the reign of Ptolemy and Cleopatra, Dositheus, who said he was a priest and Levite, and Ptolemy his son, brought this letter of Purim, which they said was the same, and that Lysimachus, the son of Ptolemy, who was in Jerusalem, had interpreted."
The following observation from gotquestions.org is fitting as it points to situations in which God's people may find themselves today and in the future. We would do well to remember that Esther's bravery and faith in God are a testament to the trust this young woman had in the living God. Her life is a lesson in God's sovereignty over his creation. God maneuvers every aspect of life to position people, governments, and situations for his plan and purpose. We may not know what God is doing at a particular moment, but a time might come when we realize why we have gone through certain experiences, or met certain people, or lived in certain areas, or shopped in certain stores, or taken certain trips. The time may come when everything comes together and we look back and see that we, too, were in the right place at the right time, just as Esther was. She was in the harem for such a time as this. She was made queen for such a time as this. She was strengthened and prepared to intercede for her people for such a time as this, Esther 4, verse 14. And she was faithful to obey. Esther trusted in God and humbly served, no matter what it might cost. Esther is truly a reminder of God's promise as written in Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose.
We at Save One More Now Incorporated encourage all listeners to seek the Lord for His calling on your life. If you are faithful to spend time with Him throughout the day, you will come to know without a doubt that He really loves you and He has a purpose for your being here.
We can be reached by email at truelife@saveonemorenow.org or our telephone number in the United States, 850-727-0493. We look forward to joining you next week and ask you to remember, life is good. God gives life. God is good.